Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. I mentioned, and Wojo did as well, Saturday night, after we learned of the passing of Jamie, myself, Dan Miller, Jennifer Hammond, Evan Jenkins, and Will Birchfield met at Wojo's house. And then Gator came over later, and then Bogey came over later. And you know, we were just, you know, obviously upset, a lot of tears, but laughs and telling Jamie stories and things like that. And as, you know, 10 o'clock became 11 o'clock, became 12 o'clock, became Mojo drinking. I was drinking. So other things were going on.
Whoa.
You know, eventually people started to leave. And it was like, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:15, I can't remember. And I think the only people there left was myself, Bogey, and obviously, and Birchie, and Wojo. It was Wojo's house. And the plan was that Birchie was going to sleep over. So we're about to leave, myself and I was about to leave, and I think Bogey was about to leave too. We couldn't find Birchie. Where's Birchie? I don't know. We looked all around the house, and you know, we were a little drunk, or Wojo was a little drunk. I waited long enough till I was sober enough to drive home. And so we're saying, Birchie! And Wojo has, I'm not going to get into the details, but he has some weird things in his house that he was describing to us and then showed us, and basement weird doors and weird little rooms and things like that. So we went into those rooms. Well, yeah, maybe Birchie's there, you know. Maybe he drove. Maybe he drove somewhere because his car wasn't there. So we called him. Bogey calls him, and then Birchie's phone is right there. And so, okay, that's Birchie's phone, so he's not there. He's not driving because he – Bogey, we called Evan. And Evan said, no, Birchie, I don't think Birchie drove. Okay, so where is he? Maybe he's just taking a walk or something, you know, because couldn't find him. Finally, we're walking around and screaming his name, and we found Birchie. In the backyard, and we looked on the deck. Wojo has a beautiful deck, and Wojo's into flowers. Did not know that. He had a lot of potted plants. Birchie, all of a sudden, there he is, passed out on the grass in the backyard. And if you know Wojo's infamous stories, he has a lot of critters back there.
Yeah.
So who knows whether, you know, Birchie could have been, you know, eaten away by raccoons or whatever. And we, Birchie, get up. We're, I was just catching the fresh air, you know, whatever like that. He was a little out of it. Trouble getting up. But.
Oh, my gosh.
So yesterday I was texting Dan Miller on, you know, some other stuff about Jamie. And I said, did you hear about Birchie? He goes, yeah. And Dan says, I said, because we found him passed out, you know. And Dan says, wow, sounds like a high school story, you know. Took me back to high school, and we'd find people in bushes. I said, really? He said, yeah. We had one guy in high school we found in the bushes after being missing for hours, bug bites everywhere. In college, we had a buddy walk outside our dorm and fell asleep in a stairwell outside, woke up surrounded by raccoons.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a friend. We were really partying. And a few hours later, he goes, well, where is he? Where's Scotty? You know, where is he? And we were walking around, and we couldn't find him. So we thought he left. I think he left and came back because he was eventually found like at 6 o'clock in the morning, passed out in the bushes as well. So I want to ask you this, 248-539-9797. Have you or your friends, give me your passed out drunk story, passed out whatever, where you missed somebody and where did they end up? Where did you find them or where did you find yourself when you were just out of it and you, oh my God, I can't believe where I am.
So back like in my college days, late high school and college days, you know, I partied like a lot of people did,
right.
You know, but I was never like huge in the liquor. So I never got like crazy,
mm-hmm.
You know, some of the stories I hear or I've witnessed from other friends. And so I don't really have a story where this has happened to me, but I got a couple with some friends.
Right.
So the best or the grossest one was in, I think this is like 27, 28 years ago, probably. We were up in East Lansing. My buddy Tom went there. And so we would often go up there on weekends and party with them and stuff. So a group of us, there was a special occasion. I can't remember what it was, but so a group of us ended up just getting a hotel room instead and mm-hmm. didn't stay in his dorm or apartment or whatever. It wasn't enough room. And, so everybody was going at it hard and stuff. And all of a sudden our buddy Dan, we couldn't find him. And, we're like, literally, at some point, it's like, there are no cell phones and stuff back
right.
then. We're like, well, he must be fine somewhere, wherever he's at. So everybody goes to sleep in the hotel room. We wake up, and he still hadn't shown up the next morning. And so at this point, we're like, we don't have any clue where he's at, you know. And it wasn't, like, reason to get concerned quite yet. So it was like 11 in the morning, and one of my buddies went out to his blazer and opened up the door, and it reeked of puke. It was awful, and he had been passed out in there.
Oh.
It was so disgusting. So we had taken two cars up there. I think it was five of us, and everybody rode home with me, and they made him drive it back and clean it out.
Oh.
It was just so disgusting.
Now, Heather, you said when you were in college, you used to party just a little bit. Any things where you were passed, or you saw some friends? Or your husband?
For sure. Well, I do have a story about myself, and it wasn't that I was like hidden somewhere. People knew where I was, but I refused to move, and I did end up sleeping in the front yard. this is after the Michigan. It was a Michigan State game, and my sister was there to tailgate, and I'd already been drinking heavily before I met up with my sister. And then I saw my sister there and started drinking even more. And I got way too drunk. And I did make it home, but I would not go into the house. I couldn't make it in. And they left me in the front yard. They said, okay, that's where you want to be. You can sleep in the front yard. And that's where I stayed.
Those Michigan State days, like you would start tailgating at like 8 o'clock.
Oh. So even earlier than that sometimes, Tom. Like, so I think this was the year I lived in the sorority house. I can't. No, it wasn't. It was after that. But we would get up so early for these tailgates. So early. Before 8. And start drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nasty.
And the thing was, is like, okay, so we'd go do the tailgate and we'd party and stuff. But, like, we couldn't regroup at night. Like, I don't know. Like, me and my group, I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't keep going. I just couldn't. Well, I couldn't go that extra mile at some people. I was amazed at what some people could do.
Could you have, suppose it was a night game and you still tailgate really early. Some people won't even make it to the night game.
Right. I'd be back watching it.
248-539-9797. By the way, I do want to mention, we haven't mentioned this today once. Actually, Greg Brady did. Colonoscopies, call the doctor, get your checkup. Daryl and Wixom, you're 97, won the ticket.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
We're hanging.
Good, good. Condolences to you guys and to the Samuelson family. I certainly understand. So I want to give you a quick story. Back when I was in college, me and some buddies decided to go visit a friend out in Wilmington, Delaware. We've been up partying for two nights, and I fell asleep in the bar. So when they walked me to the car, I kind of woke up, didn't realize where I were, didn't recognize them, and started running down the street. They're chasing me, and I wouldn't stop running. Now I'm in Delaware, have no clue where I'm at. And then I sort of came to, ended up sleeping in an abandoned apartment, but had enough sense of mind the next morning when I woke up to figure out where my friend lived. I was a mile away. I had to walk back to his house. I haven't lived that down yet.
Wow.
Were you going to the quad?
No, we were just decided to go to Delaware to visit a buddy. He had moved there to go to work for DuPont.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Thanks, Daryl. Appreciate it.
We're streaking.
It's all old school, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Andrew in Shelby Township, you're 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Sorry for your losses.
Thank you.
Quick little tidbit. I don't condone underage drinking, but I was able to procure some alcohol in high school. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time's parent, was out of town. And I don't have any clue how it happened or how I got there, but I wound up completely naked, face down in her backyard.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
And my clothes were nowhere to be found.
Oh, my gosh.
And did her parents see you?
No, they weren't. They were out of town. Oh, okay. They didn't come back, and I was out of there pretty early.
Did you find your clothes?
She found them, but they weren't on me when I hightailed it to my car.
Did she know how you ended up there?
No.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a good one.
You know, some of the things, man, that you would do.
Oh, I look back now. You know, everybody makes fun of, you know, things I've done. And like my friends who listen, you know, online, they laugh because they think you were a big, you know, you were not that big of a, in college, not much of a druggie. You smoked pot, basically. I didn't do really coke or anything like that till like after college when I could afford it, when I had a job. But yes.
Well, you were in Washington too, where it was, prevalent more than other places.
Especially in the 80s. But you look back, and there are times where you remember waking up the next day trying to figure out how you got home, and you drove. I mean, it's so scary. It's really, really scary, the stuff, because this is before Mothers Against Drunk Driving. This is, you know.
Oh, I know. That's what people did back then.
Yeah, I know.
It's all about education and changing. You changed with it.
Yes,
you don't do it.
It's awful.
Just like I never would have. I've always been terrified of drugs because I grew up when Nancy Reagan did the whole campaign and had the egg on the frying pan.
Oh, you know,
this is your drug.
This is
your brain.
Yes.
Your brain on drugs. Mm-hmm. To me, it's terrified me of stuff like that.
It worked, man. It really did. Josh in Brighton, you're 97 on the ticket.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. For the most part.
Good to hear. So I got a good story. I came home from Marine Corps boot camp one time, and I was partying up at Western with my buddy Dixie and Graves. And we all got pretty buzzed out on the discourse all day. And later in the night, we're still partying, and we're looking for our buddy. We couldn't find him all night. We're walking around screaming, yelling. About 2 hours after 4 o'clock in the morning, we ended up finding him naked, sleeping on top of the laundry room.
Where, the laundry room? Naked?
Yeah, and like at Western Michigan, they had apartments, and then they had community laundry rooms. And we found him passed out on top of the washer and dryers.
That's hilarious.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yes.
What's the most ridiculous thing you ever did to like try to get alcohol into somewhere you shouldn't? Like when you were younger or... One time we got a keg into our dorm room. So what we did, it was at, if people know at Western Michigan, these are my ugly days. Britton Hadley, which was down in the valley, I think is what it was called. You could pull up to the dorms, one of those dorms in the back, and there was rooms on ground level. So you had the windows that you could open in the dorm. So we knew somebody that lived down there. And so then the laundry was downstairs on that same level. And then you had the huge laundry basket. So we had a laundry basket in that dorm room, brought the keg through the window, put it into that laundry basket, and then just went through the whole dorm to the other dorm, up the elevator, and got it in. Legend.
You know, I never had those stories because I was always too afraid to. I mean, there were times where you go to a concert and you'd put like a bag of pot under your in your shoe just to make sure you didn't get caught. You know, they wouldn't see it. But like, I know people who still, to a certain extent, will take pot on planes and things like that.
There's, wow.
I would never take the chance. I was a wuss. The craziest, the only thing I can remember trying to like sneak something in had nothing to do with drugs. Once I went to the Bahamas with an old girlfriend who was kind of kinky, and she we got handcuffs through the security.
Handcuffs. She had nipple clamps.
Yeah. All right. We're talking about your past, maybe. For some, maybe their future, their present. I don't know.
Yeah, it's past and present. Yeah, if you're younger,
exactly. You know, Will Birchfield. It was pretty much a present. Our buddy. Saturday night, we couldn't find him after at Wojo's house after a night of, you know, drinking and partying and consoling each other, and we finally found him, and he was in the backyard, passed out in the grass. So we're asking for some passed out stories. We have some ticket texts.
Yeah, we got some ticket texts here. Found in a chicken coop. Shorts were on backwards and underwear was in a tree. Got a standing ovation when I exited.
What?
Chicken coop. Stoney, in college, I was visiting friends at their CMU apartment. The laundry room for the complex was in a separate building in the parking lot. My friends found me passed out in there, and I apparently threw up in one of the dryers.
Oh.
That's from John in Virginia. Rest in peace, Jamie.
Can you imagine washing a load of clothes?
Well, sometimes you throw stuff in the dryer and don't look.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, you just throw it in there. And, oh, my God. Oh, with that. The heat and the puke, the combo platter. That's just gross. Let's go to Kurt in Riverview. You're on 97.1 The Ticket.
Yeah, this happened a while ago. I had just moved down to South Florida, down to Fort Lauderdale, because of a job offer. And a coworker that was also from Detroit, we ended up at a local drinking establishment. It was the Michigan Ohio State game. I think this is the very first weekend we were down in Fort Lauderdale. And so we walk into the bar, and wouldn't you know it, the Ohio State Alumni Association is in there. We're in maize and blue. It's nothing but scarlet and gray. And so we sit down around this Cheers-type bar, and everybody, you know, is going crazy. Michigan loses the game.
No, stunning. Michigan lost to Ohio State? That never happens.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah.
But they said, you know what? We like you guys. You were a lot of fun. We're going to go back to this yacht and have a party. Why don't you come along? Well, it's a Saturday afternoon. Why not? So we get a ride from this guy, one of those old taxi cabs everybody was driving back then down in South Florida. So we go to the Intercoastal, this huge scarlet and gray yacht, and they got the fight song going, and at one point, someone says, hey, is your buddy okay? I'm like, I don't know. What's going on? He's right down in the bathroom. So I go down to this bathroom on this big yacht, and I can hear him throwing up and banging on the doors. You all right? He can't even talk. So I leave him alone. Anyway, the party's going on. Sun sets. Everyone's getting off the yacht, and I can't find him. I'm like, where is he? And we're yelling, Danny, no response. I said, I'm talking to this guy. I don't know where he is. I said, you know, I guess let's just go. Maybe I don't know where he went. So we leave. Apparently, he had gotten off the yacht, passed out in bushes between the houses, and to this day, he tells everyone, he left me behind. You had to step over me to even get out. I said, I never saw you. So I know he's listening right now. Yeah, he passed out in the bushes. He ended up, well, this is days before cell phones. He had to go to a 7-Eleven and look a buddy up in the phone book.
Wow.
And use a paid phone to get it. Because we didn't even know where we were. We just moved down to the area, and he had to call somebody and say, hey, I don't know where I am, but come get me.
Wow. That's great. Danny, if you're listening, you might want to refute this.
Got a ticket text here. I was stationed at Pendleton and was bar hopping in San Clement, California. I woke up naked in the bushes of a Chase bank, lost my wallet, phone, and clothes, had just one sock on.
Oh,
what? Oh, how does this happen?
Let's call it alcohol or drugs.
I know, but oh my gosh.
Let's go to Rich in New Jersey listening. Hello, Rich.
Stoney, how are you, buddy?
Oh, yes, this is my. You know, we're talking about this. This came from Will Birchfield, who is probably the biggest Ranger fan I know, except for the guy on the phone right now.
There
so
you go.
Sorry,
you're
down to.
We're down to nothing. I think we're done.
Yeah, but you might get the number one pick next year.
That would be good. That would be good. That would be good. Hey, first of all, before I tell you the story, deep condolences, obviously, to all you guys and to Jamie's family. You guys did an amazing job yesterday. Tommy and I listened, as we always do, and it was really incredible. We couldn't turn it off. It was just unbelievable. Great job. Really unbelievable.
Thank you.
It was impossible to turn it off. I sat here for 4 hours of work and just could not turn it off. So, great job. We'll leave it at that. Let's get on to something even better, or funnier anyway.
Oh, boy.
So this goes back to our senior year in Washington. There was a legendary club. I think it was Southeast or Southwest Stony. It was way in the God knows where in D.C., called a pier.
Yeah,
we used to go to.
During the week, it was all gay. On Saturday nights, it was half gay, half American, George Washington, University of Maryland, straight students.
It was a great club because the bartenders were all gay guys, and they wouldn't serve women, so the women had to come to the guys to get a drink. So you had a leg up immediately.
Yes.
because the women couldn't get served, so you were way ahead. And let's just say that we were ingesting stuff that you needed a prescription that we didn't have prescriptions for. We'll leave it at that. when you left the club, you were actually in no position to be going anywhere in a car, but as Stoney said, it was a different time. So the criteria was who was in the best position to drive home. And this particular night, it was me, but Stoney's car was the car we were driving in. So it was about a 20-minute drive back to campus, and I was the one elected to drive. Stoney was in the passenger seat, and we had three or four people in the back, including one of our other roommates. And it was the winter, and it was snowy in D.C., and we're driving. The last stretch of the road is a road called Foxhall Road. It's a windy road up from Georgetown up to where American is. And, of course, what happens, look in the rearview mirror, boom, you know, lights get pulled over. You know, and I immediately, you know, the first thing you do, you open the windows and you straighten up as quickly as you can and, you know, roll down the window. Instant respect. What can I help you with, officer? Oh, do you know you're going too fast? Oh, I'm so, so sorry. And, you know, license and registration. I asked Stoney to, you know, open the glove box and get me the registration. Of course, he opens it and the lights don't work. And he says, let me open the door, you know, to turn the lights on the car, which was a big mistake. He opens the door, and Stoney, being in the position that he's in, with feeling no pain, immediately falls out of the car and goes face first into a snowbank. and then gets back in the car and looks like the abominable snowman. He looked like he had a white beard. The officer looks at me and goes, where are you going? I said, officer, we're going to American University. It's right up the street. He goes, take care of your friend. Get out of here. I don't ever want to see you guys again. And close the door, and we get in the car and drive up the street. But if you could have seen Stoney, I mean, we're laughing about this 40 years later.
Well,
him going out of the car face first was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
How about this?
I think the cop was laughing,
well,
too.
The clothes... After the cop leaves and we're driving up, all of a sudden there's a voice from the back saying,
I wasn't going to tell this part.
Part, yeah. Yo, man, the good thing they didn't stop us. I had an eighth of Coke in my sock.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna give that part, but you know, yeah. As long as I'll leave that to you.
There's no secret. Are you sure that was snow he fell in?
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, if he fell in the back seat, it would have been something else. But yeah exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, okay, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Yeah, is that the Rich I met?
You met another Rich. What? You know, you met the one who's a fledgling basketball agent at the age of like 63 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to Larry in Farmington Hills. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Hi, this is Larry from Farmington Hills.
I just said that. Wow.
Oh, okay. I just want to say condolences to you and the staff. I had you guys on all day at my office yesterday. But I'm originally from New Jersey, and when I was in college, we were in Manasquan, New Jersey, and it was getting late, and we were all kind of drunk and everything. We were a block up from the beach, and we ended up, after hours, drinking on the beach, and we hijacked a lifeguard boat, and we ended up sailing it down the Jersey coast for about a mile or two, and we woke up the next morning, and we were on some beach, and we didn't know where we were.
Wow.
That's good. I like that. Jersey Shore hijacking a lifeguard boat.
Nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, keep up the good work, and my condolences to you and the staff and the Samuels family.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it, Larry. 97 won the ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.